Open our Bibles, please, to the book of Mark, chapter 8. Mark, chapter 8, and in your Schofield Bible, page 1056, and beginning with verse 22, we'll read responsively through verse 26. The text verse is the 24th verse. After this passage, we'll turn to yet another scripture. For now, let's stand, please. Everyone standing for the reading of the Word of God. And he cometh to Bethsaida, and they bring a blind man unto him, and besought him to touch him. And he took the blind man by the hand, and led him out of the town. And when he had spit on his eyes, and put his hands upon him, he asked him if he saw aught. And he looked up and said, I see men as trees walking. After that he put his hands again upon his eyes and made him look up. And he was restored and saw every man clearly. And let's read 26 together. And he sent him away to his house, saying, neither go into the town nor tell it to any in the town. Turn now to Jeremiah chapter 17. Jeremiah 17, page 790 in your Schofield Bible, 790. And we'll read a couple of verses here, verses 7 and 8. We'll read these verses together, starting with verse 7. Let's read, please. Blessed is the man that trusteth in the Lord, and whose hope the Lord is, for he shall be as a tree planted by the waters, and that spreadeth out her roots by the river, and shall not see when heat cometh, but her leaf shall be green, and shall not be careful in the year of drought, neither shall cease from yielding fruit. And let's pray. And Father, this is a good place to be. We're thankful for our church. We're thankful for the fellowship and the blessing and joy of just being with the people of this church. What a great people you've given us. What a great preacher you've given us. We're thankful for him. Bless, we pray, in this hour of preaching, and help our attention to be upon the message. Give us alertness, the ability to understand and to obey thy word in Jesus' name. Amen.
I want to read for you, without your turning to it, two of the passages you read a while ago. One is simply the little statement, Mark chapter 8, verse 24. And he looked up and said, I see men as trees walking. That's the title of my sermon this morning, I see men as trees. And then one of the most amazing passages in the Bible I read for you. He read it a while ago. It's in Jeremiah 7, 8. For he shall be as a tree planted by the waters, and that spreadeth out her roots by the river. Here's my text, or one of them. And shall not see when the heat cometh, but her leaf shall be green. The tree shall not see it, but when the heat cometh, her leaf shall be green, and shall not be careful in the year of drought, neither shall cease from yielding food. It's amazing how often in the Bible men are likened to trees. Let me use this little mic here this morning, and these guys, when I get this mic, they all start hollering amen. They think I'm going to get mean because I got this mic right here. But it's amazing how many times in the Bible that man, especially Christian people, are likened to trees. You know Proverbs 11:30, the fruit of the righteous is a tree of life, and he that winneth souls is wise. The fruit of the righteous is a tree of life. It didn't say the fruit of the righteous is a fruit. It says a tree of life. We're not only supposed to bring forth fruit, we're supposed to bring forth fruit bearers. And so the real fruit of a child of God is more soul winners. That's what it talks about, means in John, when it says that your fruit should remain. And then, of course, that in Matthew chapter 7, verse 17, the man that brings forth good fruit is like unto a good tree. And then in Psalm chapter 1, blessed is a man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. But he should be like a tree planted by the river waters, that bringeth forth his fruit in his season. His leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. Again, over and over and over again in the Bible, Christian people and people in general are likened unto some kind of trees. A wicked man is likened to a tree that brings forth bad fruit. A good man is likened to a tree that brings forth good fruit. This is the time of the year that reminds me most of the human race. And I'm going to leave you this morning with a little thought. It's not going to be an earth-shaking thing. It's not going to be a bombastic sermon, but it's one of my favorite thoughts. I love the woods. I like the woods. I spend a lot of time in the woods. I just like trees. I like them. Ms. Hiles and I like to drive around and look for deer. I told her, if you want to look for deer, look over here behind the steering wheel. But she kept looking the other way for some reason. But we like to drive around the woods and look for deer. I feel like I'm being attacked from the rear. I don't know if that's true or not, but somehow it's warm. My back of my neck is a bit warm. But I love the woods. I love to pray in the woods. I love to drive in the woods. I love to walk in the woods. I don't like to hunt. I could not kill a deer. No way I could kill a deer. I just couldn't do it. I don't like to hunt. Now, if you kill one, I'll help you eat it. But but I couldn't do it. I was talking to the fellows yesterday, the principals, Brother Sisson and Brother Boyd and Brother Vogel, and I think Brother you were there, Brother Bob, and Brother Claire. And I told them that. I said, how in the world could a person, I think Brother Young was there, how could a person kill a deer? And they all said like this. And I couldn't do it. I couldn't do it. Now, this is the time of the year that reminds me, the woods remind me more of the human race. Because the trees are so much alive. You say, now hold it, preacher. The trees are not alive. The trees are dead. No, the trees are not alive. They're not dead. They're alive. There's more life in the trees right now than any other time of the year. Now, once the leaves have come, the trees begin to die. And the summertime is a dying season for the trees. But the time when the trees have no leaves is the time when life is coming. And when they have their leaves, it's the time when life is going. Now we've studied together Botany 131. We're going to the sermon this morning. But you know what botany is. You think it's a men's garment or something. But the trees are most alive. Now the truth is, at this very moment, practically every tree in this area is dying to bloom. It's just, now, all it needs is just a little bit of warmth. By the way, may I stop and say this? People say, oh, this late spring. Folks, that's the way this God-forsaken area is all the time. Oh, but this is the worst spring we've had. I'd like to prove you wrong. I was down this morning with Brother Randy, and I'd come in and check the temperature and check how to set the heat or air conditioning on. I'd like to give you the statistics. Today, the high is going to be 52. Last year, the high on this same date was 53. 2 years ago, the high was 57. 3 years ago, the high was 50. 4 years ago, the high was 51. 5 years ago, the high was 55. For those of you who think we're having a late spring, we are not having a spring, just like we always don't have a spring. That's all. We have two seasons, winter and August. That's all we have here. But the honest truth is, yeah, we are having a colder spring than usual. The average temperature is 53 for the last 5 years, and today a high of 52. So it's 1 degree colder. We're having a terrible cold spring for us. Now, the truth is, ladies and gentlemen, God just doesn't like us. That's all there is to it. But out yonder in all over the neighborhoods today, There are trees that are waiting for one thing, warmth. And there are people likewise waiting for one thing, warmth. Now you give those trees out there 2 days of just any kind of decent warm weather. You wait till they bloom in August and you'll find out what I'm talking about. Now, listen to me. I'm trying to say that's all they're waiting for. Now I want to tell you a story. 36 years ago, I spent my first spring in this area. You know, one of the hard things for me is I travel all over the country. And I go where the trees bloomed 2 months ago. I want to say I shouldn't say right now. But anyway, it's a little too slangish for the pulpit. But see me after the service in my office and I'll tell you. But we spent our first spring here 36 years ago. We came 37 years ago this August. Please do not walk around now. Don't let your children walk out. There are people out yonder on this street. I tell you again and again. One of these days, somebody's going to walk off this street downtown here, walk into one of those restrooms, find your child there, and you're going to be brokenhearted because of what happened. Now, I'm simply saying, don't let your child leave this place and go out of this building and be on those buildings over there by yourself. Now, back to the trees. I'm going to get a branch off one of them and spank a fire out of you. I'm trying to be nice this morning, but you won't let me. When I came to this church, are you listening? It seemed so formal. That's because it was so formal. It was so different. At the end of every song, on Sunday morning, they sang, Amen. I've never done that before. They didn't have a congregational song leader on Sunday morning. That was too undignified. Didn't have a pianist. Wouldn't allow a pianist on Sunday morning. We'd have just voted you out of the church and sent you down south where they have pianists on Sunday morning. But we didn't have pianists on Sunday morning because it was too undignified. Gospel songs were not allowed on Sunday morning when I came here because the gospel songs were saved for Sunday night. Now we had a pianist on Sunday night and a congregational song leader on Sunday night. But the services were so formal. And by the way, it seemed like I would never feel like a part. And nobody would trust me to be sweet. I still don't. But nobody would trust me to be sweet. Somebody would die in the church. We had an assistant pastor named John Hippard, who was a fine man. But he was very pastoral. The kind that really could... like Brother Colston. No, not quite like Brother Colston. A little more alive than Brother Colston. He prayed faster than Brother Colston, but... No. He's very pastoral. Very warm, tender man, and a very pastoral fellow. So somebody in the church would die, and they'd ask John Hippard to preach the funeral. And it was months here before they'd trust me with a funeral. They thought I'd preach on 16 reasons why the old man didn't make it to heaven, why he's burning in hell right now, you know. They wouldn't trust me. And I never felt so lonely in my life, and it was cold, and then somebody would get married. They wouldn't ask me to marry him. John Hippard. I hated John Hippard. No, I didn't either, but John Hippard. They'd have John Hippard perform the ceremony. They thought I'd have an old-fashioned altar call, preach on hell, and tell them why I'm married. But anyway, they wouldn't trust me. I felt like I'd always heard that Yankees were cold. And, somewhere between you and a Yankee is pretty good territory. But anyway, I'd always heard that northern people are very cold and reserved. And let me say that you prove the point. When I came here 36 years ago, by the way, winter was equally cold. March came, and this house and I said, finally, spring. April came, and we said, finally, spring. Easter came. Finally, spring. You know, down in the South, when Easter comes, you don't have to wear heavy coats and snowshoes and mufflers. But we always, Easter came, you put your Easter bonnet on and your Easter nice spring clothes on. And we said, finally,
spring. April 17th of that year, 10 inches of snow. May the 1st came. We said, finally, spring. No spring. We had snow flurries in May. You heard about the preacher came up north? Wrote his mother a letter, first snow in October. Said, dear mother, heavenly, beautiful, God-given, white, scriptural, lovely snow falleth. God's handiwork abideth everywhere. God has placed snow fluffed on the tree limbs, and God has given snow to remind us that our sins are washed away in white as snow. God's handiwork is everywhere. 6 months later, wrote a letter to his mother and said, mother, that blankety blank stuff is still on the ground. Now, it was tough. And March came, and the trees were still bare. April came, and the trees were still bare. May came, just like this year, and the trees were still bare. Finally, hear me carefully, this is my sermon. Finally, I was driving one day through the forest. 2 days of warmth had just been given to us. And all of a sudden, the trees were blooming. I've enjoyed seeing the tulip trees. They bloom early. I've enjoyed seeing the tulip trees this year. And all of a sudden, I saw 2 days of warmth is all that the trees needed. It changed the area entirely. And it dawned on me. I know what those Yankees need. They need exactly what those trees needed. They need some loving and some warmth. And so I decided to come back and southernize this church. I decided to come back and change those amens for amens. I decided to change those holy, holy, holies, and I'm not against that song, but those from Greenland's icy mountains and how tedious and tasteless the hours, I tried to change those to what a wonderful change in my life has been wrought since Jesus came into my heart. Blessed assurance, Jesus is mine. Oh, what a foretaste of glory divine. And I announced I was going to preach a series of sermons on Jesus. I preached 15 sermons, I think it was, on Jesus. The hands of Jesus, the feet of Jesus, the face of Jesus, the love of Jesus, the grace of Jesus, the mercy of Jesus, the body of Jesus, the birth of Jesus, the life of Jesus, the death of Jesus, the burial of Jesus, the resurrection of Jesus. And all of a sudden, the warmth began to cause the people to have life. The same thing that caused the trees to bloom caused the people that look so cold. And I want to tell you, I don't care who it is, ladies and gentlemen, down inside every human breast, there's the desire for the warmth of love. I don't care how hard these truck drivers over here, boy, they look as mean as the devil. In fact, they look like the devil. But anyway, they look mean. They look rough and rugged. One guy over here looks like he hadn't shaved since the millennium ago. But I mean, look at him. If you don't think they're tough, you keep the speed limit in front of them one time driving down the highway, and you'll hear words and see things you'd never seen in your life before. But listen, you look at these guys and you'd say, boy, you couldn't reach those guys. Those are rough and tough truck drivers. I tell you what'll reach them. Warmth. Somebody to love them. They'll never admit it, but somebody to love them. People say, how do you get these guys that drive into these truck stop places? How do you get them to come to church and get them down the aisle and get them up there and get them baptized? I got one of the day behind me. I'd like to drown him. But anyway, I'm saying, how do you get them? I'll tell you exactly how you get them. It's warmth. And just like the old forest says, give me some warm weather. Give me some sunshine. And the tree says, I'm begging for love. I'm begging for sunshine. Just give me a warm day and I'll blossom. I don't care who the person is. Praise God, the love of Christ constraineth him, and this nothing will bring forth a person and make him blossom like a little loving. So I found northerners quite like southerners. And I want to tell you something, ladies and gentlemen. right here in the Chicago area, in Northwest Indiana, in the steel center of the world, in this industrial area of the world, and in this scenic spot of America. There's more love in this building right here than in any building in the world today. You know why? Because of warmth, sunshine. Down in the human heart, crushed with the tempter, feelings lie buried that grace can restore. Touched by a loving heart, wakened by kindness, chords that are broken can vibrate once more. Here's a bunch of guys back here, 50 sailors this morning, 50 of them. More ugly back there than any place in the whole world. 50 sailors this morning. And these guys come from all over America. And they're sailors. You've heard the word, cuss like a sailor. You know what they're like. Well, what makes these sailors come here? I'll guarantee you, after a while, just a few minutes, several of those fellows walk down this aisle and receive Jesus Christ. You say, Brother Hiles, what causes that? I'll tell you exactly the same thing that caused a barren old forest to spring forth with trees. It's warmth, that's what it is. It's love, that's what it is. That teenager who seems so distant is begging for warmth. That teenager, you spend your time fussing at, won't you behave yourself? He's begging for warmth. He's begging for somebody to love him. You say, Brother Hiles, I can't understand teenagers. I can understand teenagers. A crowd of young ladies came to my office yesterday morning, teenagers, as they do every Saturday morning. We're having our meeting, principal's meeting. They come out there and start knocking on the door, beating the door down. We're having a board meeting, a committee meeting. The big shots around here, the principals and the CEO. I'm the CEO. And we're having our meeting. And a bunch of little knothead, stinking girls out there beating the door down. And after a while, I asked the other guys to leave, and these teenage girls come in. And we have a time. You know why they like to come in there on Saturday morning? Because there's a preacher there that loves them. We'll cut up. One of them said one time, she sort of snotty to me, and I said, you'll be sorry when you look at my face in the casket. She said, I ain't coming to your funeral. They're the same kids that you can't understand at home. I don't care who the teenager is. You give him one person that convinces him that he loves him, and you'll transform that teenager. I'm trying to say, just like these woods out here, all over these trees are begging, give us warmth, give us warmth, give us warmth. And so are the teenagers in America saying, give me warmth, give me warmth, give me... That's why these kids back here in the public school, you see them going to the public school, look like a bunch of animals. God pity the public school system in America hadn't got enough guts to make those kids wear decent clothes to school. Look like animals going to school. But why... They come here this morning, I stand up here and preach the devil out of there wearing shorts, and the girls wearing pants, and the fellows wearing long hair, and the fellows wearing earrings. You'd think every one of them would get mad and go home, but they don't get mad and go home. You know why? Because they found an old man here that loves them, and they found a man right there that loves them. I'm trying to tell you, ladies and gentlemen, the love of Christ constraineth us. That's what makes them. That's why you'll see them. They're kids back there right now. Girls got pants on. And I don't believe in that, but they know I love them. And they know he loves them. And they know we have some other folks that work with them that love them. I'm trying to say that somehow or other, we've got the idea to be a fundamentalist. You've got to just go around just kicking folks over all the time. And oh, boy. That's the first time I ever had one of those things fight back. That's okay. I knocked down three and only one knocked me down. But you know what? If an old-fashioned, hellfire and damnation, fundamental, independent, temperamental Baptist decided to backslide and love somebody, God would forgive him. That those folks in the ghettos, those, by the way, we're buying, probably close the deal this week on all these houses through here. When I first came here years ago, those grown sons over there were little boys then. and they were giving us fits. And I don't blame them much. Boy, if you live next door to a church like this, you'd want to give somebody fits too. Before you get too upset, Mr. Goff was over there, you live over there for 1 month and see how you like it. We're buying all those houses between the library. Those boys were giving us fits. Boy, people had said, "You little heathen, won't you behave?" One day I went out and I got me a whole bucket of change. Quarters, nickels, dimes, pennies, whole bucket of it. I called the boys out there between here and those houses over there and I said, "Hey, fellas, scramble." And I just threw that change all over the concrete and all over the alley. And those little boys scrambled for that change. And you know, from that day to this, they've been my pals. You know how to get me to quit preaching so hard? Let me scramble for money. Just throw money everywhere. I'm trying to tell you, ladies and gentlemen, there's nobody hard. I mean nobody hard. The hardest old senior citizen crab can be warmed by the love of Christ. And as those trees are waiting, that husband so hard and demanding can be changed by a sweet, loving wife. That dad that seems so indifferent to you and seems so oblivious to affection and never says, "I love you." You try saying, "I love you," to him a few times. There's not a dad. I don't care whether he drives. Listen, boy, sit down back here. I don't care if he drives a truck. I don't care if he's in the Navy. I don't care how mean he is. I don't care. There's not a dad in this world that doesn't like to hear the words, "I love you." Just like those trees out there today, I'll drive through them this afternoon as I do every Sunday afternoon. And I'll look at them. As I drive through those trees, I'll look and I'll see them and they're saying, "Please give me warmth. I've life on the inside, but I can't show it. I've got to have warmth." And this great old Chicago area, so the city of broad shoulders, the city where churches are supposed to be formal and cold, the city where the North is supposed to be independent of emotion. I don't care who they are. Everybody loves to be loved. This old area is saying, "Please love me. Please give me some warmth." In the ghettos, they cry, "Please give me some warmth." The old truck driver driving down the road cries, "Move over and get out of the way. I'm going to get by." He says it in other terms, but he says, "Please give me some warmth." Years ago, this is a story that I've given a couple of times. I moved to this area and everything was so different. The man most responsible to get me to come to this church was named Lee Johnson. I would never have walked in this pulpit had it not been Lee Johnson. Lee Johnson fought to get me here. He fought and begged me to consider coming to this church and kept contacting me and kept contacting me and kept contacting me till finally I decided to come and look at the church. And if you love me and if you believe in this ministry, we'll always owe a debt to a man named Lee Johnson. When I came, I was different. Lee Johnson was chairman of the Board of Deacons. We couldn't understand each other exactly, and he got a little harsh to me. I thought he was harsh. I think he was just sort of his nature. He didn't like to show his warmth. And I got a little harsh with him. And we had some real problems. And one day, it was the day that I saw the trees warm, or bloom because of warmth. One day I decided to change my tactics toward Lee Johnson. And I decided to be warm to him and love him and pray for him, be kind to him. From that day to this, I've never said an unkind word about Lee Johnson. Because I owe the Howells Anderson College would not be here. Hammond Baptist Schools would not be here if it hadn't been for Lee Johnson. And slowly but surely, the warmth began to cause Lee to become warm to me. That's all he was waiting for, was somebody to be warm. Probably the woman in the church, person in the church that hated to be the most in those days was Lee Johnson's mother-in-law, Miss Frances, they called her. Ushers back in the back, help that lady, please. Miss Frances she lived to be well over 100. Miss Frances was American Baptist, and she was an officer of some kind at the American Baptist Ladies State Convention meeting or something. And she hated me with a passion. Miss Frances left our church, went to an American Baptist church, but Lee Johnson stayed. Finally, Lee Johnson moved out to California. Miss Frances was placed in a home down in Fort Wayne, Indiana, in a I think it was American Baptist home for the aged or something. Lee Johnson wrote me a letter one day, and he said, "Dear Brother Hiles, I found out that I'm dying with cancer. I don't have long to live." He said, "I want my mother-in-law, Miss Frances, to love you like I love you." Now, wait a minute. This is a man that had been, for a while, my enemy. "I want my mother-in-law to love you like I love you." She's in a home for the aged, or apartments for the aged down in Fort Wayne. By the way, as sharp mentally as you are today. In fact, sharper than most of you. But he said, "Would you please do what you can to let my mother-in-law know you like I know you so she can love you like I love you?" Did you ever try loving your enemies? It's in the Bible. One day I was preaching down in Ohio. I decided to drive many miles to Fort Wayne to see Miss Frances. She was, I think, 105 at the time, something like that. I drove through a tornado. It was such bad weather, I saw a trailer, a mobile home, within 20 feet of me on the left, lifted up by a tornado and just totally destroyed. I drove through that tornado to Fort Wayne. I found this home for the aged, or apartments for the aged. I went to Miss Frances. I rang her doorbell, and she came to the door, and she looked and saw who it was, and she bristled like that, just like the tree that looks like it's dead, but it's waiting for some warmth. And I said, "Miss Frances, I've come today." I said, "Please let me in. I haven't come to be unkind. Please let me come in." I showed her the letter that Lee Johnson had written me, begging me to talk to his mother-in-law so that she would love me before he died, like he loved me. She looked at the letter and invited me in very tersely. And I walked in and I said, "Sit down," and I said, "Miss Frances, I've come today to tell you that I love you. I've come to ask you to forgive me if I've had anything in my heart against you." You might be surprised how that'd feel. You might be surprised how it'd feel to give in every once in a while. You might be surprised how it'd feel to go to that person that hates you and tell him you love him. And I said, "Miss Frances, I've come to tell you I love you. I want to make peace with you." I said, "Miss Frances, I'm going," and she never said a word. Just looked at me and stared at me. I said, "Miss Frances, I'm going to kneel and pray here." I knelt there. She was sitting there, well over 100. And I began to pray. And I said, "Miss Frances, when I finished praying, I said, now, Miss Frances, if you'll be my friend, And let's make peace. And you'll be my friend. Would you take my hand?" My eyes were closed. I felt that old wrinkled hand on my arm trying to find my hand. And she grasped my hand and she began to pray. I walked out of that place with a friend. You know why? That big old body, I don't mean a fat body. She was a big, coarse kind of a lady. Big, tall, heavy-set lady. That coarse look on her face was waiting for some warmth. Just like the trees this morning are saying, "Please give me some warmth. Please." And by the way, don't you misjudge this church. Don't you misjudge the hellfire and damnation. Don't misjudge that. I'm telling you, brother, the reason the people walk down these aisles and trust their Savior is because somebody's been warm to them and kind to them. Some bus worker's gone up and down the streets of the ghettos of Chicago telling people, "We love you," and telling the gangland, "Listen, we've got former gang members all over this place, gangbangers all over this place." You know why? But I'll tell you why. Behind those big old coarse-looking guys and gals, there's something saying, "Please give me some warmth. I'll bloom if you'll give me some warmth. I beg you, give me some warmth." I'll tell you what. They come to our church, and they don't know always what to say. And when you say amen, they're saying some of the strangest things you ever heard in your life. I wouldn't tell you what some of them say when they say amen. One guy sitting in the balcony, a big old guy in the balcony up there. I'll be preaching along, and he gets excited, and he looks, sits up on the edge of his seat. Instead of saying amen, he'll say D-A-M-N, that's good. Except he don't spell it. He don't know how to spell. He says it. Now, I'm not for that, but I'll tell you why he's up there. Because he found somebody that gave him some warmth. He said, please, I just need some warmth. And hey, don't be afraid to say to people you love them. Don't be afraid of giving folks warmth. Folks are begging for warmth. My father-in-law was one of the best men I ever met. But my father-in-law was independent kind of fellow. Folks, you've walked around enough. Now decide whether you're going to stay in church or get out. I'm sick and tired of you walking around while I'm preaching. Listen carefully to me. My father-in-law was straight-laced kind of fellow. I never heard him say to anybody he loved him, though he was a great man, wonderful man. My father-in-law, I tried to win him to Christ. I failed for 17 years. After 17 years, I won my father-in-law to Christ on his 70th birthday. May I tell you the words he said when he began to pray? He said, Heavenly Father, I thank you that I have a son-in-law whom I can trust. What my preaching couldn't do, my love did. What my scolding couldn't do, my love did. I'll tell you, that teenage daughter you got in your house is like a tree begging for warmth. Yesterday morning, as every Saturday morning, those big old high school boys come to my office. God bless them. They're wild. They're animals. Our high school boy, your boy is an animal. Take him with you. Picked up the telephone, couldn't hear it one day, and I thought I'm losing my hearing more than ever. The guys have stopped up the hearing thing on my telephone with chewing gum. They come to my office. I'm talking about dozens of them. Leave my office in bedlam. Candy, you know where the candy goes that you buy for me? Those dumb teenage boys, I don't give it to them, they steal it. And they love me. One pastor school came this year. Those tough guys I cut up with. They came in and one of them said, we got something for you. I opened it and it was this tie right here. I thought, boy, that's nice. We got something else for you. They gave me a Bible. Every one of them signed it. Told me they loved me. Well, I said, that's great. They said, pastor school starting. Gave me a tie and gave me a Bible. Got something else for you. And they don't know how to say it. They don't say, dearly beloved in the Lord, we lovest thou. They say, here, take this. They gave me a package, and that package was the suit I wear right now. And I know you've thought as I've been preaching how unusually cute I look this morning. The suit I wear was given to me by the teenage boys that you think are too tough at home. Say, well, how do you do it? You call it sunshine. You call it warmth. I don't care who it is, whether it's a big old truck driver barreling down a highway at 90 miles an hour, breaking the law and endangering everybody's life that's on the highways of America. Criminals, fugitives of justice, or a bunch of cussing sailors, or worse than that, remember the bass section of the choir. Or that dad that looks like he would never respond. Every man I know is as trees walking. Please give me some warmth. I'll bloom if you just give me a little sunshine, a little warmth. My mother-in-law was a godly woman. She read her Bible through more than once every year. Not the kind of woman that flaunted her Christianity at all, but she was a good woman. But my mother-in-law was not the kind of woman that said, I love you very easily. But I told her I loved her again and again and again and again. She never told me she loved me. But again and again, she lived at our house for a number of years. I told her I loved her. when she was dying. I was by her bedside just before she died, not long before she died. The last words that anybody has heard her say, I said, "Mamma, I love you." And very faintly, with dying breath, she said, "I love you too, Jack." That's all the world needs. It's an old, old illustration. Years ago, before I came to Hammond, an evangelist in our church in Texas came back home after having preached a revival over here at the First Southern Baptist Church. And he said to me, "Brother Jack, I wish you'd go up to Hammond and preach a revival sometime." I didn't know where Hammond was. He said, "We should go up there." And I said, "Why?" He said, "Because they need your warmth and your humor. I believe you'd go up there. Those people live up there in snow and cold and ice and steel mills and soot in the factories of Northwest Indiana." He said, "Brother Jack, I believe you'd go for a couple of weeks. You could bring some cheer to that area." That couple of weeks has lasted 37 years almost. And I've done what I could to bring warmth into your life. I've been hard, I've been mean, I've been tough. I preached hard against sin. But you've known for 37 years, you've had a man up here that loves you. And some of those bare trees that I inherited 37 years ago are some of the sweetest, most loving people I know in the world today. And so as I drive through the woods this afternoon, as I did yesterday and Friday, I see the trees. They look so ugly, barren. But all they're saying is, "Just give me a couple of warm days. That's all I want. Just a couple of warm days." And that's what people are saying all over this world. "Just give me some warmth. Just give me some love. Just give me some kindness. Just give me a couple of warm days." This morning, may I say, in closing, God loves you. And we love you. If you're here this morning, you never trusted Christ, but let the love of Christ constrain you. And the love of this church constrain you. This morning, if you're here and you've grown cold of heart, just try telling somebody you love them. "I love you. I love you. I love you." I hear it many times a day from people who love me. These men on the platform very often will tell me that. Or write me a little note and they'll say it. I got a note, Brother Jeff, just the other day, and he closed it like he always closes his notes. "I love you, preacher. I love you, preacher." And I close with this. This man right here, boy, he and I cut up more than any two people in the world. I hate his guts.
That's right.
But we cut up more than any two people in the world. But he knows I love him. When I heard the news of the day, Brother Roy, I was one happy man. One happy man. I wish you knew what thank you. I wish you knew what love is. I wish you knew what it's like to be warm. You'd be amazed how many people are just waiting to bloom. The Bible said in our text this morning, "For he shall be as a tree planted by the waters, that spreadeth out her roots with the river. Shall not see when heat cometh, but her leaf shall be green." When her leaf cometh, the heat cometh, her leaf shall be green. Would you bow your heads, please? Our Heavenly Father, I preached longer than I thought I would.